Let's take a look now at some other technology trends or ideas likely to make an impact in 2010. Morris Mislowski is a business futurist and innovations expert. You can hear him usually every Friday morning on Radio Australia Today, and he joined me earlier here in the Tech Stream.
We've talked a long time about technology becoming divergent. We might have historically had lots of different bits and pieces. We might have had our phone, and we might have had our dicta recorder, or we might have had a camera or whatever. And these pieces becoming one, uniting into one single device. We've seen it happen for a while, but this tech show, the CES, really brought it to the fore where we are going to get that one device. You know, the Apple iPhone, I think, is what pushed it over the marketplace. Certainly the tablet that we're all told is going to happen very soon with Apple, I think will be the next category killer if they do it properly, and Apple tends to do that. So what we'll find is the one device that we want to carry around. Because if we think about it as human beings, we're quite lazy. We really don't want to carry three and four pieces if we can avoid it, but we do want all the things that they can do. So if somebody can give us a great little toy that we can shove into our pocket that does four or five things, that Swiss Army knife that we talk about in technology, I think that's going to be something really terrific. And the tablet, I believe, will do that, if it's what we're told it will be.
What we also don't want is five or six remote controls and seven or eight devices all cluttering up our lounge room. We do want something that does a lot of things at once, in much the same way that a PC does, but we don't want the beige box sitting underneath our television anymore, do we?
No. We've really reached maturity level with our technology. There was a stage when we were young and we were teenagers, so to speak, in that curve, in that product curve, that it was all about the box. It had to look big and shiny, and it had to look good on our desk and impress people. We're way past that now. Maturity means that we really don't care about the box anymore. What we care about is the end result. We want it to do what we want it to do. How it does it, who cares? And we're just beginning to see a lot of technology along that. And we're also not so caring about the box. It's got to be a nice little thing that fits into our pocket, but that's about it. What we really want is a device that knows us. We want something that's semantic, that really knows who we are, can make intuitive decisions about what we want. So when we say, you know, have I got a 12 o'clock appointment, it actually knows what we're asking for, or when, you know, where did I have coffee last Tuesday? It's something you and I can answer really well, but the computer hasn't been able to. But that's the device we want, because we want it to be able to recall the coffee shop we were at and make the reservation for us or give us the directions to drive there. And we're going to see that. And I think this tablet, again, is part of that path towards it.
You're a father of teenage children, and you know as well a lot about generational things and trends that go on and changes. What is driving some of this change? Is it things like Gen Y and what they want out of technology?
I think it absolutely is. And also we need to remember that we're really on the precipice. If we take 2010 as being an evolutionary period, and I think looking back it will be, meaning that this decade we're going to lose a lot of the baby boomers out of the workforce. They're going to retire. Nothing sinister about it. They just are, because age has crept up on all of us. You know, most of them will be 50, 60 plus going into 70s. We're going to see Gen X and Gen Y coming into the boardrooms. And if not into the boardrooms, into the decision-making rooms. They're going to bring their technology. They're going to bring their requirements to those decisions. They're not going to leave them at home. They just don't do that. Technology needs to be all the way through. So the things we're going to see in business are going to be very much around what the Gen X and the Gen Y needs. They're people that are quite used to technology. It drips off their fingers. They want their laptops or their tablets or their PC or whatever it happens to be, and they want it how they want it, when they want it. Baby boomers were not so demanding. You know, we had a PC on our desk, and what we were given was what we accepted. They're also going to change the notion of how they work, because the 9-to-5, I'm saying, is dead. For me, I'm predicting that by the end of this decade, 40% of all Australians will be working remotely, and that doesn't necessarily mean from home. It just means they don't need to be at a fixed base anymore. If you think about it, especially with service providers, you can do your work from anywhere as long as you're accessible and are accessible to the internet and whatever else you need. So that's going to become more normal as well. So definitely a lot of changes in the workplace over the next 10 years.
That presents some issues for companies when they think about their IT and the way they do business on the web, the way they... of that, those ideas companies will be thinking about in 2010 as well.
Well, certainly IT is a big one. What we're finding is a trend towards employees bringing their own laptops or tablets or whatever it is they want to use into a business, and the business needs to start to accommodate that. They, of course, need to set good, strong parameters of these are the sorts of equipment we're going to allow in, and, of course, security becomes an issue. So what you find is that the employee will buy a PC or a laptop or a notebook or whatever it is they want. They'll bring it to work and work will set it up so that it works within the environs. But also just the whole notion of communication is different now. Skype, I mean, we're all really familiar with Skype, but we're told Skype's going to ramp itself up this year and hopefully offer a bit more teleconferencing, a bit more video conferencing, become that thing that we always hoped it would be. Wouldn't it be interesting if Skype, for instance, sat off the back of Facebook or LinkedIn and was the natural bridge between, I'm typing and I'm talking to you, but why can't I just flick on something and begin to physically or virtually talk to you or see you? We're going to see all those kinds of innovations into the workplace over the next very little while, a year, 2 years, 3 years.
I mean, it's interesting as well, at the end of 2009, we were talking about Google Wave and the way that might change things in terms of communications within organisations and outside as well. Have you had a chance to play with it? Do you think that service, that platform, presents a new challenge for businesses?
I think it does. I was actually contemplating that just in the last week because it's kind of lost its luster for some reason. It was the big topic last year, as you said. It was the tidal wave that was going to wash us all away and has since become almost mute. I'm not convinced it will take over to the extent that perhaps I was 6 months ago. I think the notion of what it offers, though, will, and that is the all-encompassing communication, that we do want, again, one central place that we can go to that carries all the conversation, all the web and everything else that we're having with people.
This idea that things like curating content could be more important, or crowdsourcing content and ideas could be more important in 2010. Do you have thoughts on this as well?
Absolutely. So for me, it's very much about crowd filtering. I think that's become the big issue. Now, crowdsourcing, of course, is where we get a lot of people online who might give us an idea or a concept or maybe come up with a design for us and we'll pay them. So we physically aren't connected to them. Crowd filtering is the next level of that, where we're actually saying, here's the idea, what do you guys think of it? In my day, we used to call that focus groups, we used to call it research. It's now crowd filtering. And we're getting that naturally because the Facebooks, the LinkedIn, the communication that we're having through our social networks is doing that without knowing it. It is saying this is the idea that we're all aware of and then giving us various opinions on what's happening around it. So I think we're going to see more and more of that, and the attuned businesses are going to be able to really work with that to fine-tune their products and services.
It becomes more important as well when people are using more real-time search, for example, and we start to have this stream coming in. If you're using Twitter, you know that it becomes very important to work out ways to filter that incoming stream as well. I guess in 2010 we might see more services, more ideas around how to do that filtering.
I think you're absolutely right. In real-time, and as we know over the last year or so, it's just been the thing that we're all demanding this year. We're all going to go to real-time as if we're not there already. And you're right, we're going to have an avalanche of information. And for me, really, information needs to be turned into knowledge. And for businesses to succeed, for us to succeed in life, knowledge has to turn into wisdom. And it's the tools of wisdom that we're looking for still online. There are far and few between. So for me, that's the challenge of the next decade. We've got to find some ways to bring wisdom out of all of this.
So just finally, Maurice, because we have run out of time, the one buzz phrase that we've been hearing towards the end of 2009 or ramping up over the last couple of years even is this thing, augmented reality. I can imagine that people are going to start to get more excited about that in 2010.
And they should. Augmented reality is one of these things we've been hoping for a long time. Augmented reality is where we have layers of information over what we're seeing. So we'll be able to look almost through a set of binoculars, which at this stage is the iPhone. We'll be able to look through that and be able to see additional stuff on top of it. So when we walk around the streets, for instance, instead of just seeing the cafe as we would, we might see the menu and the Twitter feeds and who's in there and all that. August last year, there were 3 apps selling on iPhone, 4 augmented. We're up to, I think there's about 1,500 or so either for sale or about to come up for sale, and that's just in that short space of time.
And there's some good ones for the Android platform as well, and Google are really getting behind it.
Absolutely. So we're going to see a lot more of them. You know, for people like real estate agents, for instance, where you can do a virtual tour of the property by standing outside, it's incredible, where you can use this perhaps in an organisation to teach occupational health and safety, OH&S, because what you're doing is giving people a tour of the factory and maybe showing them the hazards and then showing them how to overcome them. There are just all kinds of wonderful business applications, let alone for you and I, the individual, that I think we're going to see over the next year or so. I think it's going to come to the boil this year, and I think it's going to go off in about 2 years, if that makes sense. So it'll be a really big thing, and it'll just become another tool that we use.
Business futurist Maurice Mislowski.